Welcome into the study today. We thank you for joining us here at the Grace Bible Hour. And as you may have noticed, this hour is actually comprised of two separate studies. The first half hour, of course, is our studies here. In the second half hour, we're proud to be able to bring to you the Riches of Grace program that is distributed from the Grace School of the Bible in Chicago, Illinois. And the Grace School of the Bible has been a tremendous help to me, and it's allowed me to come to a greater knowledge of what God has for us today. And if you have any comments or questions, or if you'd like to be able to get in touch with the Grace School of the Bible, you can get a hold of me here, and we'll be able to get you in touch with the people in Chicago, Illinois. The president of Grace School of the Bible, Brother Richard Jordan, is the one who brings the message for the second half, and we hope that this entire hour is something that is a help to you, and it is a challenge to you. And we hope that you take the things that you hear in this hour and not just take our word for it, but go and study the book. In Acts chapter 11, there you get to hear a group of people called the Bereans who didn't take people at the word, but they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things that they were saying were so. And we ask that you be Bereans and take the things that we give you and to study them out, not just to write them down if you do take notes, not just to write them down and toss it aside, but to be able to look at what God has for us today and to study those things out. So basically, we're going to continue on with a gospel that you can believe. The last time we were talking about, there's a lot of different gospels in the Bible. A lot of people don't realize that, but we just kind of pointed out there are at least five. The gospel of the kingdom that goes back to David, where God tells David that he is going to establish a kingdom on this earth in Jerusalem, and there's going to be a throne in that kingdom, and Jesus Christ is going to sit, he's going to rule and reign the universe from that throne in Jerusalem. The second one that we looked at last time was the gospel of the circumcision, which goes back to Abram, when God separates Israel from the rest of the world and the rest of the nations, and the way he separates them and makes a distinction is the gospel of the circumcision. The fact that you have circumcision in the Jewish religion, that actually gives you the separation between Jew, Gentile. And then we just kind of mentioned the fact that there's a gospel of the uncircumcision that goes back to Abraham, before his name was changed to Abraham. And there's a different thing there, and Abram and Abraham, same person, but there's something special about him, and one day we'll get into that. And the fourth one that we looked at was the message of reconciliation that goes all the way back to Adam, and God wants to reconcile the world unto himself. And basically that's what the gospel of reconciliation is talking about. And then there's a message called the mystery, which was before Adam, which was before the creation of the world, that God has a plan for the world. And it was something that he kept secret in and of himself for to accomplish the good pleasure of his will. And like I said, there's at least five that we looked at. And of course, we can actually go through and see how all these things go together. But we looked at the fact that there is a difference between what Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost and what Paul preaches. There's a difference between what was going on before and what we have going on now. There was something that was spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And now there is something now that we're teaching that was kept secret since the world began. And as I said before, I'm not an English major, but something that was spoken since the world began and something that was kept secret since the world began are two different things. Now, as I've stated before, there are no contradictions in the Bible, but there are two different programs that we can actually look at and see that they're different. Now, we know and understand Hebrews 13:8 says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes, but he does change the way he deals with man. His dealings with man throughout history has changed, and you can actually go back and see. For instance, you can look at the menu of what man was able to eat. That's changed throughout history. Adam, he could eat anything that he caught. When you get to Abraham, he can only eat certain things. Now, we're able to eat pretty much anything we want to. So there's things, the diet has been restricted, the diet has changed, the way God deals with man and his diet has changed, the way that God deals with man has changed throughout time, and that's the basis of dispensational teaching, dispensational Bible study. And the last time we actually looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 1 through 4. And that is the gospel in which you are saved by today. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. And if anybody comes along and tries to add anything extra to that, then they're in the wrong. Believe it or not, if you actually read your Bible, and you know, if you've listened to us at all, you know that the book, the Bible, means something to me. The words in the Bible mean something to me. When God tells us that here is the gospel by which you are saved, the death, burial, and resurrection, trusting in that and that alone is how you're saved, well, guess what? It don't matter what Dr. So-and-so says, because God has already laid down his final authority. That in and of itself is one of the main things, one of the issues with Bible versions today. Bible versions have taken the authority of God out and has put the authority of Dr. So-and-so in God's place. So, as I've said before, if you've heard of us before, you know that the Bible means something to us. So the words mean something to us, and they're going to be, and as I said before, we're going to study things, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to take time out of your life, but that's a sacrifice that you should be willing to make. Who cares what's on TV tonight? Let's get out God's word and study it, and let's study it the way he asks us to. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now that verse tells me a lot of different things. First of all, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So if you want to be approved unto God, you need to study the book. And then he continues on, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he tells us not only to study the Bible, but he gives us a specific way to study the Bible, and that's to rightly divide the word of truth. One other thing that this passage tells me is that we're not to divide truth from error. We're not supposed to be able to separate truth from error. Well, we're supposed to be able to do that, but that's not what the verse is talking about. It's not separate truth from error. It says to divide, rightly divide the word of truth. The word of truth, of course, is the Bible. So if we're to rightly divide the word of truth, we're supposed to be able to rightly divide truth from truth and know what is going on between those two, not truth from error. Another thing that verse tells me, if we're to rightly divide the word of truth, there's also a wrong way to divide the word of truth. And that's how most people study it today. The way man has come along and divided the word of truth is Old Testament and New Testament. And did you know that there's actually a verse in Hebrews that tells us that the Testament is not over until the death of the testator? So that tells me that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is actually Old Testament scripture. It's part of that Old Testament. It has to do with the Old Covenant. I mean, that's what scripture says. And as I said, the book means something. The words mean something. It's not just something to make us feel good and warm and fuzzy inside, but it's something that's supposed to revolutionize the way we live our life and the way we think and the way we act and the way we feel. Now, that tells me that the death of the testator is the final thing that ends a testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is actually Old Testament scripture. So it's kind of hard to go about those things. But as I said, the book means something. The words mean something. And a lot of times we have to do away with our preconceived notions when we set them up against God's word. Problem is, most people put more emphasis on what they've heard rather than what they read. Now, I've said all that to say this. We need to understand that there are different things going on in the Bible. There are different gospels going on in the Bible. And we need to know how to rightly divide those gospels and find out what God is doing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And we'll start off here today, continuing with a gospel that you can believe. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached, which was preached of me, is not after man." The gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So basically that tells me that Paul has a message, a gospel that is not according to any other man, not after man. It's not something that man has come up with, man has conceived. It's not something that man has thought of. This gospel that Paul has is something special. Verse 12 says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it." So this message, this gospel that Paul has, was not preached before. He was not taught it. He did not learn it from another person. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and that's what we looked at last time. Paul grew up in the Jewish religion. He knew old scripture. He knew Old Testament scripture. He knew it forwards and backwards. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one of the main people. Verse 14, it says, "And he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals." Paul knew things, but he didn't know this gospel. How did he learn it? Verse 12, "For neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So, no one has spoken this gospel before. The gospel that Paul is preaching is something that was kept secret. It was something that was not revealed until it was revealed by Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. If there's something that was spoken of since the world began and something that was kept secret since the world began, that's different. There is something that Paul is preaching that was revealed by Jesus Christ. When was it revealed? After the death, burial, and resurrection. So that tells me everything before that is going to be different than what Paul was talking about. Actually, when did Paul learn this? Paul began to learn this gospel in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 7, you see him standing there as holding the coats of the people that stoned Stephen. Acts chapter 9, you see Jesus Christ himself comes down out of heaven's glory and reveals to Paul, starts revealing to Paul, a gospel that was never preached before, something that no man has ever heard before. And do you realize that when Jesus Christ comes out of heaven's glory and comes down to save the Apostle Paul and to speak to him, do you realize that that was an unprophesied coming of Jesus Christ? Nowhere in Scripture can you find the fact that he was going to come back to earth to save one man and give him a gospel. Now, the second coming of Jesus Christ actually tells us that when Jesus Christ comes back and he stands on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives are going to split into two. So guess what? There was an unprophesied coming of Jesus Christ for an unprophesied mystery program. An unprophesied message. An unprophesied gospel. That tells us that there are more things going on in this mystery program. Now, God tells Jesus Christ to come, sit by my right hand. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen looks up and sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ was sitting down after the resurrection. Acts chapter 7, he's seen standing up, because he was supposed to come back in judgment and begin the tribulation period. Instead, he comes down by God's grace and saves the Apostle Paul and gives the Apostle Paul a different message than what has ever been preached before. Something that no man had ever heard, and it was only revealed by Jesus Christ. Now I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 3. It says, "But I fear lest by any means," and he's talking to the Corinthians here, talking about how he has worked with them and tried to bring them up, and they have kind of fallen away from the message that he gave them. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not received, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things." And in verse 3, he tells the Corinthians, he says, "I fear that you're going to be beguiled as Satan, the serpent, beguiled Eve in the garden." Go back to Genesis chapter 3 real quick, and I just want you to take a look at this. Genesis chapter 3, it'll give you a good idea of how Satan beguiled Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent, which was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said?" What's the first thing that Satan does here? He questions God's word. How many people do you know of today that question God's word? There's at least hundreds of different versions of the Bible out there that question God's word. Continue on, he says, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So he sets that seed and says, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." But if you go back to verse 16 of chapter 2, there's a word that Eve leaves out. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That word freely is very important there. The woman actually leaves it here, so she actually is subtracting from God's word because Satan has already questioned God's word. And how many versions of the Bible out there have actually subtracted words from God? Every one of them. If you take the King James Bible and set it along every one of them have subtracted words from God's word. Let's continue on, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, if you go back and read Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In that verse of scripture, is there anywhere where it says, neither shall you touch it? No. So here we actually have Eve adding to God's word. After God's word is questioned, she subtracts from God's word, and then she adds to God's word. Continue on, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here we have Satan just blatantly denying God's word. And he actually waters down God's word. So there's actually five different things going on here. You have Satan questioning God's word. Eve subtracts from God's word. Eve adds to God's word. And then Satan waters down God's word. And then he actually denies God's word. Every version that you have out there, other than the King James Version, does one, if not all, five of these. As soon as you take out a verse, as soon as you take out a period, as soon as you take out a word, as soon as you add a word, as soon as you add a comma, you're denying God's word, you're questioning God's word, and you destroy the people. So quit messing with it. And that's my King James thing for the day. But go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. He says, but I fear lest by any means necessary. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, and you've seen the five different ways. There's five different ways that he's going to beguile you. Any one of those means, any one of those five things, Satan is going to beguile you. He beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So we need to take a look at and understand how these things are going to take place. And beware of those things. When you see something come along, when you hear something come along, make sure that you stop and say, is this actually what God has for me? Is this actually what God's word says? It's not something that you have to go in your closet and beat against the door and hope that God will tell you. He's written it down for you, folks. You don't have to go around living in a way trying to figure out, well, what's God's will for my life? It's in the book. Read it. That's what it's there for. Why else would his will be that all come to the knowledge, all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, if he's not going to give you the book by which you're going to be able to do that? You have the book before you that's going to teach everything you need to know about God's will for your life. It's in the book. It's not by a tingly feeling at the back of the neck. It's in the book. Read the book. That's what it's there for. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So basically what he's saying is, watch out how these people bring Jesus. And they preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Now, who is the Jesus that Paul preaches? Go to Galatians chapter 1. I just want you to get this real quick. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. And what's the big thing with Galatians, with the people in Galatia? What's going on? They've been given the gospel of the grace of God, and someone has come in and said, well, you really need to add in the law, otherwise you're not going to be able to do the things that God has for you. Verse 6 starts off, it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So, as we stated before, there is another gospel out there. There's at least five that we looked at. Paul comes in and says, I marvel that you're so soon removed. It's amazing how quickly you've gone out of the grace of God. How so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he comes along and says, you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Oh, it's not another gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What's the gospel that they're talking about here? That has to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes on the scene and says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom gospel is what Jesus Christ was preaching. And what that kingdom gospel had to do with was you had to do the works of the law. What is somebody coming in? They're coming in giving another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you. They're talking about the same Jesus Christ. So it's not you have a different gospel being preached, which is not another. It's not something that is new. It's something that was already preached. You can go in and keep on reading Galatians and see what's going on there. In fact, Galatians chapter 2, who's he talking to? What's Paul getting into here? Verse 6. We'll start in verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Talking about false brethren in verse 4 coming in, who come out privately to spy out the liberty which we have in Christ and bring us under bondage. What's the bondage? It's the law. People coming in to you, if you set up a grace church and somebody comes in and says, no, you can't do that. You have to have the law. That's what they were doing. They were going in privately, spying out their liberty, finding out, hey, these people are actually living a life that is pleasing to God. And they're doing it without having to be held in bondage. Well, let's put them in bondage. Verse 5, he says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be of somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So basically he's saying these people that came in, they weren't able to add any knowledge unto me because I have a different gospel that was presented to me from Jesus Christ himself. Something that no man has taught before. So guess what? I have something to add to them. They have nothing to add to me. Why? Because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the Jewish religion system. And he has something different. So they don't have anything extra to add to Paul. Paul has something to add extra to them. As he says in verse 7, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's that gospel that we were talking about, was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. They're two different gospels, right? We've talked about that. The gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision, they're two different things. One was given to Paul by revelation of Jesus Christ. One was given by Peter personally as they lived by Jesus Christ. So, Paul tells us here in Galatians chapter 1, says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into this grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word pervert there means to add to change by adding to. What do we say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4? How is it? By any means that they're going to come in and subvert you. They're going to pervert the gospel. They're going to beguile you. What was one of the ways? By adding to. The word pervert the gospel of Christ is add to. What did they add to it? The law. What did Paul come in and say? In fact, verse 9 right there, it says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The word accursed means to be cut off. Galatians chapter 5 verse 11, we'll start there. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Paul's coming in saying, I would rather be able to cut these people off, let them be accursed, because they're trying to add something to it. When you try to add something to the gospel, the grace of God, then you end up with a law program, and guess what? You come in and add something to it, a water ceremony or whatever. You have to walk an aisle to be saved. You have to do this to be saved. You can do that right there where you're at, folks. Where you're sitting in your vehicle or whether you're sitting at home right now, you don't have to do anything special. God has already done everything for you. Go over and read Romans chapter 5 and find out what God has done for you. It's a tremendous blessing to be able to know that you can just rest in the grace of God and you don't have to do anything. People come in and add things all the time. People come in and say, oh, it's only by grace that you're saved, by faith. But your faith has to have works with it. But it's not your works, it's your faith. That's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. God is one who laid out in His Scriptures the things for us to do. He says it's the way you're saved is by trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection. It's the death, burial, and resurrection, and that alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll close with this today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we always want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Go and read Romans chapter 5. Find out what that stand does for you. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Remember what I told you, and don't believe other people. Don't believe the wrong thing. Don't believe in this other gospel. As he stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, verse 4, For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, you got to be careful, folks. People's going to come along and preach a certain Jesus to you. The only one that you need to worry about is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is what you trust in. Verse 1, where it says, ye have received, remember last time, that is not only hearing, but trusting what you heard. You have to hear it and then trust it. As soon as you put your trust in anything else, you're not saved. The only thing you can put your trust in to be saved is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right now, where you're sitting, whether it's at home or in a vehicle, you don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to do anything special. Just put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul tells the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer didn't have an aisle to walk down. He didn't have to walk up while they played Just As I Am. You can do it right there where you're at. Trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for listening today.